Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Most people agree that wild animals don't make good pets. They have different needs, they have different behaviors, they have different lifestyles, if you will. And trying to cram them into our lifestyles simply because they're unique and we think that they're adorable or striking in appearance in some way, but they have really, really neat habits, that doesn't change the fact that this isn't a normal environment for those animals. On the other hand, when we go to Puerto Rico or Mexico or Russia or some foreign countries, or even when we walk the streets of large cities like New York or Boston or Chicago, or go into the rural parts of this country and we see these free-roaming dogs out there, we forget that these are not necessarily well-beloved pets who are lost. Quite the contrary, these may be animals whose ancestors have lived in close approximation to humans for generations and generations and generations. And in fact, we're seeing the same tendency in certain wild species as we keep destroying their habitat, and so their choice is to either hang around with us or die. But just because deer are willing to come into my backyard and eat my flowers simply because development to the north, south, east, and west of me has chipped away at their woodland habitat doesn't mean that they would make good pets. And even if I can get very close to them to photograph them, or even if they would eat from my hand, I would be foolish to think that they would be good pets. And yet, when we see a dog who stands beside us at an outdoor cafe in Mexico and maybe even puts her head gently in our lap and looks up at us while we're eating lunch, obviously begging for food, it's so easy to convince ourselves that this was somebody's pet. This is an animal that would like nothing better than to live in a nice, nice home in suburbia, with all of the comforts that we have every day. And we say the same thing for the dogs in the packs that we see roaming the beaches and roaming the streets. Many of them aren't the least bit unfriendly. True, they do tend to be a little aloof, but particularly for those of us who are used to what we might think of as hyperactive pet dogs, the self-control, the patience of these street animals is incredibly seductive. And we tell ourselves that if we adopt these animals, if we bring them into our homes, we'll have all the benefit of that. And not only that, we convince ourselves, these animals will be so grateful that not only will they maintain all those incredibly wonderful characteristics, their gratitude will enhance their behavior even more. And so, fueled by that dream, we adopt these animals. And when they're not grateful, and when it turns out that they would just as soon fight with our other dog as look at it, or take off as soon as we open the door if we're not in there to body block them fast enough, we feel betrayed. How dare they do that to us after we saved them? But we didn't save them, not really, any more than I would save the deer, or the coyotes, or the wild turkeys, or any of the other critters that share this land with me, if I brought them into my home. The only difference is that I wouldn't even expect them to adapt to such a life, let alone be grateful. But just because these street animals and these feral and these semi-feral animals, whether dogs or cats, look so remarkably similar to the companion animals we see around us every day, we convince ourselves that their behaviors are add-ons, condiments that they can shed in a heartbeat and that they in fact want to shed in a heartbeat given the privilege of living with us. It's not true, folks. Maybe some of them make the transition, but a lot of them don't.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.